This week on the Lords of Grantham podcast, we jump back in to the final season of The Crown. Prince Charles and Princess Diana, they're on the outs, officially divorced, both looking to move on in life, and the world has all their eyes on one of them. So let's see how things start off this week on the podcast. I get no doubt. And we're back with The Crown for the first time in a long time. What's going on, Corey?
A fair amount. You know, how about you?
Not a whole lot. This weekend we hosted my girlfriend's little sister's surprise 30th birthday party.
Oh, that's sweet.
So there's an outside chance. I know they were, you know, our house was swarmed with people I barely know. And some of her friends seemed interested in all the recording stuff. So if we have any new listeners who I may have said hi to last weekend, hello. Hello.
And there you go. You got acknowledged.
And there you go. Welcome aboard.
Yep. Well, Dave, there's been a lot of news going on, though.
Yep.
Why don't we just start from the top? Because we've been talking about it every week. But the Kate Middleton news came to a head on Friday, where she revealed that she has cancer, which... apologies for any commentary earlier. Thoughts with you. Prayers with you. Still, that family. Why did they do her dirty with that Photoshop thing? I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk it more about it.
And why can they say that the king has cancer and not specify what it is and not her?
Did they specify what she had?
No, I don't. I'm not 100% sure.
No, they didn't.
But I know that they didn't specify what the king has
either.
So no. It's like, you know, there's still all these details that they leave off the table.
So it's pretty apt that we're covering The Crown right now, because it really does touch on how the royalty protects their image and are very much concerned about that more than anything else, even if it doesn't make any sense. But that's going on. Also loosely tied to Down, we have Imelda Staunton making news. The Queen herself, Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah. This is a double tie-in.
Yeah. She was on BBC Radio 2 this past week with Zoe Ball, and they asked her about the rumors of Downton Abbey coming back, and she said, "There will be the final film. There you go." And then Belle joked that she hoped Staunton was not going to get into any trouble for the revelation, and the actress replied, "I don't care."
Okay.
I guess, you know, it sounds like no grains of salt to be taken with that. It sounds like I don't, if Melisande's confirming it, I mean, she was in the past two movies. She's married to Carson. I don't know why she would make that up.
Yeah, and did she name drop Paul Giamatti?
No, that was some other, that was coming from The Sun. The Sun, who misreported the casting of James Bond this past week, also reported allegedly that Paul Giamatti was being signed for the third movie of Downton Abbey, which, I mean, if they go to America like we always want them to do, wouldn't be too far-fetched, but I don't know. Grain of salt.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got too much juice right now.
Giamatti?
It's not like... Yeah, Giamatti, I mean, he's hot off he didn't win the Oscar, but didn't he get the Golden Globe?
He did get a Golden Globe.
Not that any of these awards truly mean anything, but I mean, his star power, like, because I was on, like, Paramount Plus or something, and I saw, like, Billions, and I was like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot he was in Billions, because
that's where he's been for the past
he's back
years.
In movie star mode. But he's, you know, he's back at the top.
Well, you know, Downton wants some of that Giamatti juice too. You know, they could use that. The last one didn't do as well as they had hoped, I think, or it didn't make as much as the first one, at least. So
the Dominic West juice didn't do it.
No.
Speaking of The Crown,
you need to squeeze the Giamatti juice.
Everyone wants to do it right now. Everyone's squeezing.
Big fans. The last thing, unrelated to everything, I just saw this headline though. Michelle Dockery says, she doesn't get cast in period dramas anymore because she's too recognizable for playing Lady Mary in Downton Abbey. Who knew?
What a shame.
Yeah. She should get more work there. Anyways, we should probably get to The Crown, right?
Yeah. We're back at it.
Season 6, Episode 1. What's the name of this episode again?
Persona non grata.
Persona non grata. There we go. We are months late to covering this. Apologies to listeners who are eagerly waiting for us to talk about The Crown.
I think The Crown is such a bingeable show. If anyone was watching it as it came out, they still would have been annoyed at us for taking so long to record. So
that's true.
It's evergreen.
It was out of our hands, too. Gilded Age was on TV. We can only do one episode a week. Belgravia came on. We're here as soon as we could be.
Yeah. And what whiplash to go from Belgravia to Smash Mouth and Chumbawamba.
I had the same thoughts. In real life, a show taking place, loosely based on historical facts. But I did send you a Snapchat yesterday, Dave, as I was about to start watching this episode, like, oh, we're doing this again. there's an element of, like, taking our vitamins by watching the show, I feel, because it is the period drama of all period dramas that has been on TV for the past few years.
And I will say the one good thing about this is it's 51 minutes, and it's so... We've talked about this when we did season 5, that this is so, like, you talk about how Julian Fellowes stuffs these side plots in, you know, even in Belgravia, there's characters that have no resolution to their plots and then are written off.
Mm-hmm.
There's like two things going on in this episode.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's very simple. And honestly, watching this again, I reminded myself why we watched this show still. Because there was a moment where we were like, I don't know, man. This is kind of dry. This is not going anywhere. But it's come back around. And especially with Diana in the picture and Prince Charles taking more of a center frame, it's much more watchable, I feel. Like, it doesn't feel as stodgy.
And DeBicki earns all of the awards that she's won from this. She is so good.
You really do forget you're watching an actress sometimes. Like, she really does capture those little beats of Diana, at least from what I've seen from interviews and photos and all that stuff.
So let's jump in, we're jumping into the pool in Saint-Tropez.
Mm-hmm. So the season starts in
Everything
Paris.
Is kind of linked. Yeah, it starts in Paris. It's a little flash forward. The only real thing that's out of sync here.
Yeah, we have a man taking his dog for a walk, and he sees some cars speed by. He sees some motorcyclists following it into a tunnel. He hears a crash. Who knows what he just witnessed?
He's got a cell phone, though.
He does have
a huge
cell phone.
He's affluent enough to have a cell phone in the 90s.
Yeah. And
he says, I got an emergency.
They reassure us, the show, that we'll get there eventually. Here's some Chumbawamba. And then Tub Thumping comes in.
Is it immediately after? Yeah, it is immediately after, because it's the Tony Blair scene.
I run this back in my mind all the time sometimes. Like when someone you know or someone, an actor passes away, there's always like this slight relief of that, well, they lived long enough to experience that. You know, they shared that in culture with us. So I'm glad that Diana was around to be there for Tub Thumping.
I mean, Tub Thump, it has to be intentional too, because that song is about, you know, being like anti-imperialism and anti the British government. It's a protest song about, you know, like the verses are all about drinking, but it does have a deep, like, sort of riot sort of, you know, you knock us down, we get back up. Mm-hmm. They're Scottish, they're not Irish, Chumbawamba, but
I just took the wind out of my sails. The song Tub Thumpin' was released as a single August 11th, 1997. And then Diana passed away August 31st, 1997. So there's a 20-day window where she would have had to heard the song. It was not there 8 weeks prior.
So, you know, when they say this is fiction, this is what they're talking about, because she is singing Chumbawamba. Maybe she got an advanced copy.
The perks of being royalty, yeah. Here's the Chumbawamba single you've been asking for.
You ever hear of Chumbawamba?
They're a one-hit wonder. That was like their first hit. And again, this is like those little things about the show. I get they're trying to set us back in the time period of 1997, but like, would it kill you to just be a little bit more period accurate? Couldn't they be similar?
Yeah, when I heard Smash Mouth, I was like, no, turn this off.
Yeah, Walking on the Sun. And they only tease that. They only tease Walking on the Sun for like 15 seconds. you barely hear it. Just put on the Spice Girls. Have them sing along to the Spice Girls. Come on. That was 97. They were around. They were around in 96. What are you doing, producers?
Get it right.
Yeah. So anyways, though, it's 8 weeks prior to whatever that crash was. And it's Diana with William. And it's so funny because she's meeting up with the Prime Minister, though. Tony Blair.
He's here.
You know, he's usually talking to the Queen, the Prime Minister, but this time he's meeting with Diana, who is no longer royalty. She has renounced all her, you know.
Well, I don't think she renounced it. When she divorced, she lost it.
Yeah, pretty much.
And this is a really good scene, I thought, because we kind of have the Queen interrogating Tony Blair about what the visit was like.
Yeah.
And Blair recounting it in sort of a fast-forward manner, where we see that Diana and William and Harry too, right? It's both boys. Or is it just William? It's just William.
It's just William.
They're going to see the Blairs and the whole Blair family. They play soccer.
5-on-5.
We should say football, as
they call it.
He takes a walk, and when, you know, they walk and talk, and she wants some role because she knows all eyes are on her.
She's done a lot of work with landmines. Tony makes the case. Mm-hmm. You know, she's out there still doing good in the world. And the Queen lays it down plainly. She's either in, you're either in or you're out. And, you know, she's a mother of boys. She's always welcome. But she's not royal family.
That's about it.
Get her out the door. It's kind of interesting to see, like, this change in terms of the Queen's relationship with the Prime Minister, where, you know, very, very much she's towing the line of, like, this is, you know, work, where this is all, you know, you got your political agenda. I have, you know, the royalty here to flex on you and tell you what to do. Here, it's all personal. Even though it's kind of towing the line of, like, work and stuff, she's, I think, just as much curious what Diana's deal is, because I think she's a little frightened after the last season. Not the last season, but the interview that she had given and the information she had shared about her relationship with Charles. I think she's just trying to feel out how is Diana positioning herself post-marriage now.
Mm-hmm. And I also think it's interesting, and we'll see how this plays out. But, you know, in the first two seasons, we see, obviously, with Churchill, Elizabeth is like a sponge and she just wants to learn. Mm-hmm. And then as we go through all the other prime ministers in that second run of the first cast, she's still kind of like learning as she goes. And then we get to the Coleman seasons and we have Thatcher, who is like a peer, and they're like butting heads and they're like going at each other because they're like view each other as kind of equals in some, you know, like, you know, generationally speaking. Now she's officially way older.
Yeah.
Than the current prime minister. So you can see she's kind of just like, when you say this is like she's making it personal. She's making it personal, but also totally impersonal, because it's like, she's just like, this, I'm too old for this.
Yeah.
I've been doing this forever. I'm not going to humor you, even though, like, and I think it's one of her biggest mistakes, because Diana was all eyes on her.
Yeah. And Tony gives it to her straight. But, It's kind of funny, too, to see Tony just kind of being caught in between here. But everyone seems to like him. That was the thing. He was so likable. He was the Bill Clinton of the 90s for the UK, pretty much. I mean, good guy in 97. Well, this can veer off in two directions. We can follow the Diana thread line, or the Queen and the Charles and the Camilla, even though they're really...
Let's do the Queen and Charles and Camilla, because it's less fun. A little stuffier.
Okay.
So,
you want
to
go?
It's not fun.
We don't want to talk about it, actually. We're just going to not talk about it.
No way. Hey, we're here for yoked up Prince Charles.
Yep.
Dominic
he is
West.
Jacked, baby. That neck is so thick. You know he was just doing squats before filming these scenes.
He had a personal trainer. He's like, look, I need to get Prince Charles's ears. And they gave him like the wrong workout routine. And he came in looking like, you know, ready to fight.
Yep.
Like, oops, my bad. Too late. So,
regimen.
It's Camilla's 50th birthday. He's throwing a party, and he really wants to make sure that his mom is there, because he says, separated from Diana for 5 years, officially divorced one. Mm-hmm. He's sick of her being the villain in the eyes of the press and in the eyes of the nation. So let's if the queen shows up, it's a sign of, you know, like it's a seal of approval. She's good.
And Princess Margaret, she's already confirmed. She's coming through. It's kind of like when you send out like a Facebook invite or what have you these days, and you see, well, we got this one mm-hmm. name, and we know if that one name's coming through, there's got to be other people that are going to show for this party that we're throwing, right?
Yeah. But that's not enough for him. So he's really hoping that, and he's got his people, his guy. Who's his guy?
He was there the last season.
His dudes, and Camilla's like, meh, you know, mm-hmm. she's just kind of there.
But they are trying to make the case, like, you're already swaying public opinion here. Like, two-thirds of, according to the Mirror, two-thirds of people accept Camilla and that you should marry. So, like, you know, we're almost mm-hmm. there, but Charles knows if the queen isn't giving her seal approval, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so he goes to visit.
The queen herself?
And he goes and he sees a mouse running around the floor, and he goes, not going to say anything about this mouse.
Yeah.
And he goes in, and Elizabeth, not so great to him. Very curt, very to the point.
Mm-hmm.
She says, look, you're divorced, and I like her, but I don't agree with that. I don't, it's the line that's in the trailer. It's like, I don't approve.
Yeah.
It's like, I like her, but I don't approve of this. How can I show up to something and approve of something that I don't approve of? She's a divorcee. You're a divorcee. I don't like it.
And at least she's being honest about it, you know? Like, yeah. It doesn't matter what the case is. Like, you know, I can't approve of something I don't approve of. So I'm not going to do it.
And I think the way she handles this conversation is, like, despicable.
Why?
Because she's like, can you? This dog needs my attention. So if we're done, why don't you go kick rocks and get out of here?
I care more about my dog than you.
I mean, that's how it certainly comes off that way.
And she might actually care more about her dog than Charles. I mean, honestly.
And then Charles walks, and he's walking out, and he turns around, and he sees her, and she's playing with the dog, and he has a moment of like, man. And then he turns around and leaves, and she. It's terrible. I mean, it's like, be a human for once.
Yeah, and so they have the party, and everyone's laughing it up. It's a beautiful, you know, tent that they've put together. And everyone's kind of just like, wow, look at Charles. he's mm-hmm. relaxed. He's confident. He's back to breakdancing on the floor again, spinning on his head. Everyone's just having
He does the worm.
He does the worm. And everyone is just, you know, having a good time, but he's just like, wait, where's mummy? Where's that queen? Where's my queen? Where's my mom?
Well, I mean, and let's not skip over the fact that he makes this toast about how Camilla is, he like narrows down the, you know, funnels right down to the point that Camilla is a real strong, heroic person
mm-hmm.
for just being this target, that everyone loves Diana and that she's been resilient and she's been loyal and she stayed with him. And yeah, she does deserve props and credit and kudos for all of this. And we see that Princess Margaret goes and calls Elizabeth from the party and is like, yeah, you know, that Rolls Royce factory that you're touring, you probably should have came here because everybody loves her and everybody loves him. And this is a big victory for these two.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, after the party, after the realization that she ain't showing up, the queen's on the phone with her sister, with Margaret.
Yeah.
Did I call her Princess Margaret earlier? If so, that was my mistake. She's just Margaret. She's just Sister Margaret.
She's Princess Margaret. She's a princess.
She's a princess? Okay. It's been a while since we've been covering the show. But Margaret advises, you need to start showing support. Like, he's going to be king one day, and you want him to be happy. We can't have unhappy royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Any
more unhappy royalty.
Yeah. And this is, I really appreciate this moment because this is really like playing off of all the seasons of History of Margaret where she got denied her love of her life and kind of had to play second fiddle mm-hmm. to the queen because, you know, you're preserving what's the status quo right now. And Margaret's kind of suggesting, hey, look ahead. You know, like, it's not just about you and your relationships and stuff. Like, there's other people here and it matters. And so I thought that was a really good, like, they don't have to tell us why Margaret's giving her this advice. We just know from the years of history with Margaret, like, why she's telling the queen what she's telling her, which is like, wake up, you know?
Yeah. Like, this is not one that we'll both die for. This is one that we're going to be, you know, long gone. And this are what we do or don't do will affect the future.
Yeah.
Versus like, oh, you told me I couldn't be with Peter Townsend. That's us. That dies with our generation, that sort of trauma. But if you do this to him,
yeah,
you're elongating this for another, you know, generation.
And it's funny the way, because right afterwards she's talking to Prince Phil about her decision, and he's just like, well, if you showed up, it would have just shown interest instead of approval. You know, that's other people reading into it too finely. And the queen is just kind of like, still on her high horse, saying like, you know, she's not wicked, she's just inappropriate. And part of that is, not only did they break up a marriage, but, you know, that embarrassment, the second embarrassment of that, those phone convos about the feet and stuff. And
Oh, yeah. And they also, I don't know exactly what point in their conversation, she's like, they ruined two perfectly good families. And it's like, oh, that, you want to say like, oh, the greatest generation equivalent of OK Boomer. You're like, you're wrong.
They're wrong.
Just because your next door neighbors or whoever were unhappily married and had kids doesn't mean everybody should be unhappily married.
Yeah. And, you know,
so we'll talk more about the specifics of Diana, but basically she is the headline following this party.
Right.
And Charles is not thrilled, and his PR team is basically telling him, it's okay, man. You just got to read into these articles. They don't really say nice things about Diana, and they do say nice things about Camilla. And he's like, I don't need to read. I need to see.
Right, because as much as Camilla's name is on the front pages, it's still juxtaposed with Diana, and Diana, who, you know, took some pictures in a bikini or a swimsuit just because, you know, she knew that would get attention. Because as Charles points out, this is war. You know, this is a PR battle between the two of us to, like, win the favor of the country. And so, like, you guys aren't doing enough here. And it's so funny because Camilla's just sitting there quiet in the room because she's got nothing to add to this. She can't do anything. But, yeah, man, Charles really fretting for his life here. And this is where, like, you start thinking about today with the crown and the royalty, how they're just so concerned about how they come off to the public. I think it's very intentional that they include a scene like this to really drive home the point, you know, regardless if this happened or not, that's who they are.
Yeah, and this is clearly a conversation that maybe didn't happen in this way, but there's no world where it didn't happen.
Yeah, like some kind of regret or lamenting, like, are you serious? Like, this is what's getting covered by the papers here.
But then we see that
I do like the
Queen does
the always reliable Daily Mail. It's like, oh yeah, it sure is.
So the Queen, she gives Charles a call.
Yep.
And she basically asks about the party and then says, you know, like, she's happy for him. And she gives him that, you know, she's reflecting on what her sister said and what the world is saying. And this is not an approval in public, but this is a step in the right direction.
Yeah. She's...
I think it's a little too late, but the intention is there.
She's accepting things. It doesn't necessarily mean she's approving of it. But...
And I think that's all we really get of Charles, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And so we pivot over to the Diana and the Al-Fayeds of it all.
Oh, yeah. I was thrilled.
Oh, man.
I mean, obviously we knew that Mohammed and Dodi were going to be a huge part of this season. But immediately, and the way this played out, it's like, oh, my God. Salim Daw, who plays Mohammed Al-Fayed, he should be getting some supporting actor noms here
so
and there.
So charming. But yeah, I mean, this is pretty much the vacation Diana takes with her kids for the last time. She's like trying to convince them, like, this will be fun. You can play as much, Street Fighter as you want on this trip.
but they're bringing their own console, or does the yacht have its own Street Fighter?
I bet you the yacht has its own Street Fighter. I mean, it's 1997.
They're bringing their own cartridge, though, to get their saved games on it.
Well, there's no saved games for Street Fighter. And, like, SNES has been around for 6 years at that point, so I'm sure it's on the yacht already. Mm-hmm. I was most curious to see, like, who is William playing in Street Fighter.
He was Blanka, right?
Yeah, it looked like Blanka versus E. Honda. So, yeah, he's just the green
one
fella.
Of those two.
I would have assumed the colonizer and him would have made him play as Dalsum, but they didn't go that far. They weren't that edgy.
No.
So, all right. They spent a lot of money on that helicopter, by the way. The helicopter that picks them up and transports them to the boat and stuff. That looked real. That didn't look
so bad. Is oh, you mean literally the production?
The production.
One thing about the show is when we watch these period dramas, the sets are super ornate,
mm-hmm.
and they're classic. But this is like you see all a yacht and a helicopter and a speedboat and all this stuff. It's like, ooh, wow, okay, this is what this money can do if the technology is only 30 years old,
yeah.
instead of 150 years old.
Exactly. So Mohammed on the yacht is looking for his son Dodi, because you know he's having a special trip here with Diana. He needs Dodi mm-hmm. to show up, but Dodi's a little preoccupied.
Dodi's engaged.
Right now. Yeah, he is engaged to what's her name, Kelly something.
Kelly Fisher.
Kelly Fisher, she's a model, and you know. It's Diana who's visiting. He's trying to get Dodi on the boat. Like, get away from that girl. I don't care who you're with. I don't care if she's pretty or anything.
The bikini model.
Yeah.
Mrs. Bikini, as he calls her.
Madame Bikini. Just get out here. And you can see Dodi is just subservient to his father. He'll do whatever his father asks him to do, regardless. He's got to show up for him.
But Kelly's over here like, why do you got to be such a daddy's boy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, when your daddy's like a billionaire... who bankrolls all of your hobbies, you go to Saint-Tropez when he tells you to go to Saint-Tropez.
Yeah.
You get on the boat. You get on the jet. You get on the chopper. And he does. And she's not thrilled because they're getting married in 3 weeks.
Right. That's the wrong time to take a vacation. You know, you got to lock down a little bit. Rich people, it's a little bit
but
different,
she's got,
I guess.
Well, we find out later she's got somewhere to go too, but yeah. Regardless.
I like how they comment on this in the show where... You know, Diana was a fairy tale marriage. Now she's on vacation with Mohammed Al Fayed, and he looks more dignified.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, there's all kinds of photographers circling the boat, and Mohammed introduces Diana to Dodi.
Well, they do the great thing where Dodi's like, "What is going on? Why are all these people here?"
Mm-hmm.
And you know, nobody in transit told him, or he didn't see a newspaper or hear the radio or watch the news
yeah.
on his private jet. You know, like he had his headphones on. He was listening to his own preview copy of Chumbawamba himself.
Yep.
And he gets there and Muhammad's like, oh, yeah, you gotta do some work this weekend, my boy.
And all I could think during this is like, man, why does it gotta be Dodi? Why can't Mohammed just make the play for Diana? I know he's married.
That's what we said last season.
I know. And he still has the chemistry with her.
Or
he makes her laugh.
One of his like preteen sons.
Yeah, they do show the thing where he's like introducing his kids and everyone's here but one, except for Dodi. But the little girl, the teenage girl is there making eyes at William. And it's like, hey there.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? Why are we doing this right now?
Right. William and Harry, they do kind of look like the actual kids, I mean, or the actual people in real life.
Enough,
that age.
Yeah.
Harry looks a little young, though, considering he'd be like 12, 13 at the time. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. He looks a little too young.
It's the dramatic effect of it all, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Trying definitely. To show how young he was. But, yeah, so she's in Saint-Tropez. Everyone knows where she's at. And Diana's reading about Camilla. You know, she's saying like, oh, there's going to be this party and stuff like that. And we see, you know, after briefly talking to her son, she's then talking to the photographers and they're telling her, oh, you're beautiful and stuff. And she wants to let them know.
Is this when she goes up to the boat or when yeah. they're just in the swimming around?
Well, it was I'm fast forwarding a little
bit.
Well,
William says like, He says, I'm not going to leave this room. And he doesn't say anything about beating Street Fighter. He says, I'm not leaving here until the photographers leave.
Yeah.
So Diana puts on a tight bathing suit. mm-hmm. gets on the speedboat.
Leopard print.
And zooms right up to them. And she's like, hey, baby, I'm here. Look at me.
Yeah.
So these guys are creeps. They're just like, you know, like, you look great. What are you wearing?
Have you ever seen a paparazzi or met a paparazzi?
We talked about it on Patreon. I have.
Yeah, they're a little creepy.
They're not great.
But it's like a two-pronged
solution.
She
says, look, I'll give you this if you just leave me alone, and maybe I'll give you more later.
And get me on the front of the newspaper next to Camilla, knocking her off her perch there.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't got time for that. But what is
it? We also skimmed over the fact that Muhammad leaves as soon as Dodie shows up.
Yeah.
And he's like, this is on you, man. Dodie's like, what are you talking about? And he says, I'm engaged. He goes, I want you to make me proud with this one. I got work to do, boy. And he just leaves the yacht.
What a class act, that Muhammad.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Where are we now with the timeline? Is this where we see even Dodie's hanging out with William? He's getting along with him? Because he's talking to William, saying, like, you want to go to Pinewood Goldeneye? Studios? Meet James Bond? Pierce Brosnan?
And we do see, they do a little montage of Dodie sort of hosting the mm-hmm. royals. And there's immediately chemistry because Diana remembers him from when they met previously.
Yeah.
And, you know, the two of them hit it off and they're like flirting with each other as they're playing. Mm-hmm. And Dodie and his nephews and nieces are diving off the yacht into the water with Diana and the kids. So there's already some stuff there. And then we do flash the next time we see them, Diana is reading about Camilla. And then here's Dodie talking to William about Goldeneye.
No, it's not Goldeneye. He's talking about Tomorrow Never Dies. Because it's 96. Or 97. Yeah.
So what year is Goldeneye?
Goldeneye's 95.
Well, they mentioned Goldeneye. Because I remember hearing the words Goldeneye. But they're, you know.
No. It is Tomorrow Never Dies. When William asks, like, who's the next Bond girl, I would have loved them to include the reaction. Oh, it's Michelle Yeoh. Who? Hong Kong action star?
is Julian Fellowes going to be in this film?
Yeah, Julian Fellowes is in it. Am I supposed to know who that is? Tomorrow Never Dies. Did we review that for the podcast?
We did review that for Patreon.
We did do that for Patreon. So anyways, no, we don't get his reaction to finding out Michelle Yeoh is the Bond girl. But yeah, it comes up that Dodie's barely spending any time with his girlfriend, Kelly Fisher, the most beautiful woman in the world. Because he's busy with the most beautiful woman in the world, Diana. That's how he refers to her.
Mm-hmm.
Which, pardon me, we lived through the 90s. Diana was probably one of the most beautiful women in the world. I don't know if she was most beautiful, but you know.
Yeah, I was too young. I would need a People magazine from 1997 to know that. If it was Debicki Diana, you know, you can make the argument.
I feel like as a kid, it was just like agreed upon. Cindy Crawford was like the prettiest woman in the world. Even if you didn't know what pretty meant, it was like people told you mm-hmm. that she's the prettiest person in the mm-hmm. 90s. But Diana was definitely, yeah, Dodie's a lucky man here to go from a supermodel to Diana.
Yeah, to a supermodel with the world in her palm.
Mm-hmm. And so the girlfriend arrives, right? She's on the other yacht.
Yeah, Kelly's like, look, I'm coming. I got a gig. We're getting married soon. But we see that Muhammad does not let Kelly stay on board the SS Diana and Dodie.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to stay on her own little boat. And Dodie's over here entertaining all day. And then he finally makes his way over to Kelly. And she's not thrilled.
No. Not at all. Because he's been spending all this time with another woman. Understandably, you're going to be a little... Uh-huh.
And then she
that.
Finds out Muhammad's gone, and she's like, are you out of your mind? And then they get into it and fight and scream and make mm-hmm. up. And then the next day, he goes back to the other boat. And we see, I think it's at this point, it's become clear Diana's got a thing for Dodie.
Yeah.
She's playing him the piano. She's playing him some songs. And they have a conversation about generational sort of, not trauma, but like expectations mm-hmm. and issues with their parents. And I think this is a nice moment that it seals the deal for both of them.
Yeah.
Diana says, you know, like, I wish, yeah, they, like, she, her relationship, she was always trying to impress her parents, and her dad didn't acknowledge her at all.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Dodie could never, you know, like, regardless of his success and regardless of what he did, Muhammad was never happy with him.
Yeah.
To the point that he's 3 weeks away from his wedding, and Muhammad is telling him to leave Kelly Fisher and wind up with Princess Diana.
I'm just going to say this. I mean, it's Diana. She's beautiful and she's the most perfect person. But, and I have never come close to marriage. But 3 weeks before a marriage is quite the vulnerable time, I imagine, for a shotgun kind of wedding where it's like, this guy's suddenly getting cold feet potentially. That's the time to strike. Get in there.
And well, then, I mean, Muhammad is the kind of guy that, what is a wedding to him? It's nothing yeah. to drop in the pan. He could care less about $1 million wedding he's throwing for his son and daughter-in-law. Like, move on.
No, that's so true. But they have this nice moment where the family just hangs out and they have to choose between Jumanji, Never Ending Story, E.T., or Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And
I think they make the worst choice.
Well, it's the most recent movie of the bunch that they have to choose from. But mm-hmm. yeah, as you said correctly, Dave, they chose Jumanji from 1996. Not a very good movie.
Beloved. I think beloved by kids, but there's no way that Dodie and Diana would be chuckling along like
that. I feel
that.
Like this is like fake news, though. Because like you and I were children when Jumanji came out. It was not beloved by us. All these kids who say it's beloved is,
I mean,
like,
I had it on VHS. I think it was a...
You loved it?
I think, especially now, I think millennials love Jumanji. But I don't think there's any world where... It's not like Toy Story where it's like beloved by all.
Yeah.
And I know... I bet it was a Disney movie that I wound up watching or something that Netflix just doesn't have the rights to show stills of.
Yeah, just watch Jumanji. People...
Just watch Jumanji. They should watch E.T. Should have just said E.T. Jurassic Park.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, man.
Disney. Can't do it.
Yeah. Can't do it. The last thing I'll say on Jumanji, 2017 Jumanji is the best Jumanji rendition we've gotten.
Yeah, well, maybe the book.
But yeah, the book is also like 20 pages. It's not even the same, yeah. So anyways, Dan is hanging out with Dodie at the end, and she's telling him she's going to be alone for the rest of the summer. And he doesn't like the sound of that. And that she's always welcome
here. She asked about the wedding, and he's like, well, I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Muhammad got his way. This man is a genius.
There's a boat that's here as long as you want.
And bring whoever you want.
Yeah. And they're going to Paris next week? It's like, she's going to Paris next week, and it's like, huh, well, maybe we could keep hanging out. Maybe. Wouldn't be that bad.
Mm-hmm. And that's off they go.
That's pretty much the end of the episode, right?
She gets back home and her whole living room is filled with flowers.
Yeah. How sweet.
And a gold watch that says Paris next week.
That's what it is. Yep. A little card that says that. It is crazy to watch this, just knowing how soon things are going to end for her and him and Dodie. And it just makes you just think just crazily how life can be in full motion, everything going full speed ahead, and then it just gets cut like that. It's just wild. Because there's, aside from that opening teaser, there's no pretense of anything changing here. She's engaged in war with Charles over the public favor.
And it seems, I mean, obviously the war with Charles isn't what causes her death. It's the sort of pressure of the paparazzi, which in this episode... They're everywhere, but she also does the thing where she's like, look, I'll give you yours if you just give me my piece. Yeah. And they leave. But as we've seen dating to the Meghan and Harry documentary, they had to move them to Tyler Perry's compound. And within that compound, build up fences to keep drones away.
Thank God for Tyler
Perry. So, like, this did not stop. It does not. It continues. And yes, thank God for Tyler Perry.
Do you think Diana would still be here if Tyler Perry had amassed his fortune in the 90s and was there to protect her?
Well, I mean, look at Muhammad Al-Fayed's fortune didn't
that is
protect
true.
Her then. So,
Yeah, and he's much more rich than Tyler Perry. I assume. I don't look at their finances, but I'm assuming as much. One last note, it was true that the day after Diana passed, they were planning to actually visit Pinewood Studios where they were filming Tomorrow Never Dies. It was actually factual. But anyways, this is a good kickoff to the season, I thought. Very, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Full speed ahead, you know, picking up from where we left off last season without skipping a beat, pretty much.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, they gave a lot of time to the Alphaeds last season, and it was really nice to see, you know, a payoff. Like, you're curious as to exactly why we're getting the Alphaeds, and then it's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a certain irony, too, with the, you know, Muhammad positioning his son to get closer to the crown and stuff. And it's kind of like, don't get too close to the source of power because it's poisonous. Mm-hmm. And that's the threat that looms here, you know, of that ambition, the way it can come
but
back.
But wasn't Muhammad's entire, his like goal was to just like be like bigger than the crown?
I don't know about bigger, but just respected by them. I think that was the thing. He was obsessed with them, right? So,
but now I think because of Diana, it's not a respect anymore. It's kind of like spit in their face, and it, like, he's unintentionally made himself more valuable in a lot of ways to the world by enabling her.
Yeah, Muhammad. Yeah, yeah. I am actually curious to see how his story trajectory goes, where they go with him after the fact too. If they follow him.
Yeah, because he's too much of a puppet master for him to just disappear.
Right. Exactly.
But he does tell Dodi, like, you have a gift of making women like you. So which is so he does strange. Know that he's instilled the skills into his boy.
The way this actor carries himself as Dodi, he has, like, this hunched over posture. And it's just not the most immediately, like, that guy. He's got something going on.
Well, that doctor last season, he had nothing going on. Diana has a type.
That was so good when Diana made out with that doctor at the... Well, he had made out. They had a short relationship. That was the best. That was tops. yeah, that was Pete Crown. Okay, we got power rankings, though.
Mm-hmm. Who do you got going down? You start us off this season.
I got Dodi at number 3.
Going down?
Yeah. He had everything going his way. He had a supermodel. He was doing, you know, what he wanted. But the thing is that we find with this episode, he's under Muhammad's thumb. There's nothing he can really do in terms of making choices in his life. Even falling for Diana, you know, he's somewhat, you know, positioned and manipulated into, like, those tight quarters where they can get along and stuff. And so it just kind of shows he doesn't have much choice in his life. And he relates as much to Diana. So Dodi's down at number 3 for me.
Okay. Well, I got Prince Charles.
Okay.
Because this guy, he's throwing a great party for his wife. He makes a great speech. But not, like, his ex is taking the limelight from him. Mm-hmm. And his mom is not giving him the time of day until the very end.
Sure.
It's a rough go, you know?
Okay. Well, at number 2, I got Queen Elizabeth. Because she's having to give in and cave towards accepting the reality that is Camilla. And she's so not here for it.
And okay. Well, I got Kelly Fisher.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I got Kelly. Go ahead. She doesn't understand the bag that she's about to lose from not being with Alphaed.
I think she does. And, if you look up history, I don't want to spoil it. She does. She knows what she's going to lose.
Okay. Well, I have not looked at history as many of the more negative iTunes reviews for our podcast have said. Mm-hmm. But I don't, you know, like she's getting swept under the rug by her future father-in-law, and Dodi's taking daddy's side.
Yeah.
And they may have one last night in a yacht, but it's not the big yacht. It's the little yacht.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, number 1 going down is Prince Charles. This guy is throwing a tantrum at his PR team over the big bash that he threw for Camilla. The Queen Elizabeth doesn't show up, and it's not for him trying to get her to show up. It's Margaret who has the influence on Queen Elizabeth to get her to show any kind of tacit approval. So Charles can't win, really, and Diana's still beating him in this battle of press relations. So he's taking the L.
All right. Well, I got Elizabeth at number one.
Okay.
Because we see that, you know, she's out of touch. She's losing touch with the prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
Or at the very least, she's losing or ability to relate on a human level.
Yeah.
And then, like, everything you said about her for having her in second, she's taking the wrong cues from the wrong people and not owning up for her mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It seems as though later Queen Elizabeth, it's like a grasping with reality.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, Dave, let's hope.
Let's hope for what? That she keeps grasping.
Let's hope
reality.
That she starts to learn.
Okay. Well, Dave, who do you have going
jaded, up? Who do I at number three, I got Camilla.
Okay.
Happy birthday. It's not often that you get a toast of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Charles and you know, the world at large really should put a little bit more respect on her name.
No. There's a reason why she's just sitting there silent for most of this episode, even though she's part of the action so much.
She's endured all this ridicule. I'm not saying she's a saint.
Okay.
She's an equal partner in the Charles situation, but it shouldn't be like just because she's a little frumpier.
No, it's not frumpier. She just sat there. She didn't say anything to defend herself. She just endured, I guess, and did nothing.
Well, I mean, that's what that's the royal way. You don't fight, you know, you don't snap
that's
back.
True. That
and
I is think the royal way, ironically.
She has a nice birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you were to ask her, the press was probably pretty nice about her.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, definitely not a bad week. She's not taking it to heart the way her man is. You know, she's like, yeah, I'm 50. Cool. I'm aging like wine.
Yep. There you have it. Well, at number three going up for me, I got Muhammad Al-Fayed. This guy positions his son in the right place. He helps Diana out to go on vacation. You know, she's got security with him there. Muhammad Al-Fayed, if he really wanted to date Diana, I feel like he had a window. But he's a married man, and he liked his son. So,
yeah, sure.
There you go. He punted the opportunity.
Well, number two, I got the princess, Diana, former princess Diana.
Okay.
Because she's winning this PR war,
mm-hmm.
and she's got a man that's her type going after her, and she's no stranger to relationships that are like not approved and above on the level.
Okay,
she fooled around with one of the officers. She fooled around with this doctor. She's not about, you know, she's not above ending a relationship in order to get what she wants. And she, by the end of the episode, it seems as though she's going to Paris.
Yeah. Well, number two, I got another princess. I got Princess Margaret.
Okay, good one. Yeah, that's
she's
good.
Not in the episode that much, but it really is critical, the conversation she has with Elizabeth. Elizabeth, the queen, will not change her mind on this thing until I think Margaret speaks some sense to her. Like, you and I know from our shared history how this kind of thing goes, and it's not going to make anyone happy. So,
and I think Leslie Manville is doing a great job of transferring the Helena Bonham Carter energy in a really big way. Like, she feels like the extension, you know, the logical extension more so than I think a lot of these new cast members do.
Yeah, she's like Helena Bonham Carter 20 years on, having smoked more cigarettes. Yep. A lot more cigarettes. Because that was Princess Margaret's thing.
Well, number one, I got the master of puppets himself, Muhammad Al-Fayed.
There you go. he deserves it.
Because I had Dodie, and then I was thinking about it, and it's like, you said, Dodie was manipulated into this. Like, sure, yeah. I mean, and Dodie has to deal with the fallout of this breakup with Kelly Fisher, whereas Muhammad tells his son, grow a pair.
Yep.
Like, get with the princess. And we see him at the end of the episode from like across the sea, like, yes. So he went. He gets everything he wants.
Well, I got Diana at number one because it would all be for naught if Diana was losing her luster, but she isn't. She is still shining in terms of winning over the favor of Tony Blair to the point that he's making her case to Queen Elizabeth. She's
in the landmines.
Yep, she's still getting on the front page of the tabloids. She's controlling her narrative by saying, like, here's the pictures. You go leave me alone for a day or two. She's the one who says, we're watching Jumanji. We're not watching Never Ending Story or anything else. She wins that one. Yeah, E.T. And she's got Dodie wrapped around her finger without even trying. This guy is just a pushover for her. And, you know, she's got her kids with her. And this is the last time she gets to spend some good time with them. So good for her.
And so, we hear that their summer, like, they're going home to dad, but they got to spend a couple days with nannies first, and then they got to go on a boring vacation. They were in Saint-Tropez. They were yacht living.
Listening to the pre-release single of Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping, you know?
Yeah.
They had it all. And again, this episode, they teased Walking on the Sun. I don't know why they only played Smash Mouth's Walking on the Sun for 15 seconds. And that song was released in June. So there is a you know, realistic chance that maybe that was played.
Released in June? I don't think it was a big enough hit.
Fair. Yeah.
Over in Saint-Tropez.
Anyways, glad they played the opening lick of it. Dave, what else have you been watching?
This week, not too much. So I don't want to... Honestly, the think about this past week, it's just been a lot of, like, because I had the nice St. Patrick's Day party, and it was a lot of, like, cleanup and breakdown from that. Then we had this other party, so it was a lot of prep for that. But I will say, I know we're closing in on a special time of year for us, but I'll say, just to say something, I'm watching what The Rock is up to.
Oh, yeah. This is his best acting probably since Jumanji, actually.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we both are strong supporters of acknowledging that The Rock is not a great actor, but also acknowledging that he's great in Jumanji.
Oh, yeah.
But for Fast those unaware... Fast Five
and Jumanji are his two best movies.
I don't think I disagree. Three. Yeah. But The Rock is back in WWE because he is now a member of their executive board. Rather, the executive board that runs WWE and UFC. And... The Rock is now back on screen as a villain.
Yeah. He talks trash about every town he goes to.
And it's great. But he's also, like, all over the news because he just came out with his skincare line.
Which, I don't know who he's appealing to. He has some of the worst skin I've seen of any celebrity in Hollywood.
I got it at Target. Are you serious? It was right in front of me. Yeah, I got it.
Dude.
I got it. I mean, it's well-priced. The ingredients seem good.
Okay. Well, did you get cleanser to go with it, too?
I got moisturizer.
We'll have to talk about this later. One of my goals during 2020, during the pandemic, was to work on my skincare regimen. You don't just apply moisturizer to your skin, man. You got to put cleanser on first and then apply moisturizer.
Well, I usually do it after I shower, so I've already washed myself.
You got to have cleanser specifically.
Well, let's see what Dwayne says.
Yeah, is Dwayne using cleanser? I don't know.
Some of the stuff is just I can't buy.
Yeah,
or clay. I couldn't get the tattoo bomb. I don't have tattoos. So, what about you, Corey? What have you been watching?
A lot of TV. I've been watching Shogun and Tokyo Vice. So a lot of Japanese English TV going on. Fantastic shows. What is it? I'm watching Expats on Amazon, which is a 6-episode show with Nicole Kidman. Every episode is a full hour. The 5th episode is a full movie length episode of 1 hour and 47 minutes.
Oh my god.
They're really going for it. It's about a woman in Hong Kong who loses her son and then just dealing with the fallout from that. It's a lot, but it's good. I'm here for anything Nicole Kidman does where she really goes for it, and she's really going for it in this one.
That's good. I mean, it's good that she has time to be creative because she's making so much money off these movie theater commercials.
Oh, yeah, all the AMC ads. Yeah. But, yeah, that's what I've been watching, and we will keep watching and talking about The Crown. People, let us know your feedback if you're into it or not. I've been happy to see that people have been catching up to our Belgravia coverage or realizing, oh, the next chapter already aired? Who knew? Got a few comments.
Yippee!
Yeah. So, yeah, catch up on that. But otherwise, you know where to find us. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. lordsofgrantham@gmail.com. Hit us up, leave us a 5-star rating or review if you so choose. You can subscribe to our Patreon for the bonus content. We just reviewed Lindsay Lohan's Irish Wish last week with Jimmy from Downton Abbey in it.
Ed Spielers.
And yeah, you can go to our Podbean website, see our whole archive of episodes, and yeah, we'll catch you next time on the pod.